Hello, hello, and listen, bitch, we need to talk, okay? First of all, yes, I know I ghosted you yesterday, and it's not because I don't love you. My house turned into a full-blown episode of National Geographic Naked Cat Edition, okay? Cats screaming, fighting. I had a fucking heart attack. It was traumatic, okay? We had a traumatic experience. And it's terrible. Like, my raw chickens were hiding from me, hissing at each other. My hairy fur ball was going crazy, like hissing, fighting, claws flying. I'm not even exaggerating. So, yeah, it was a whole fucking circus. So I do apologize. And this is like the cool freedom of being a stay-at-home mom and being able to work from home, because there's no way that this would be okay if I had to leave the house today. Or at least if I had to leave the house and I didn't have other people here, because I do have to leave the house today. But it was so fucked. Anyway, I apologize. I'm back. The cats, we're all quarantined. Like, three bedrooms. Each cat is locked in a bedroom. And if you guys don't know anything about naked cats, okay, the Sphinx cats, they are not your average cats. Like, they cannot be alone. Like, Oliver, my fur cat, he could go 2 days without a pet. He doesn't care. Okay. The naked cats, absolutely not. Okay. And once my girly girl, my little tiny Gertrude, she was locked in the room with me last night. It took her a couple hours to just even crawl into bed with me. Like, that's how fucked up she is. Like, they are so traumatized. And nobody's hurt, but like, they're traumatized. Okay. We all are, because I freak the freak out. But, took her that long, and now she's like Velcro to me. So even though I've got my two girls, they're each separated, which they're happy as shit, because during the school week, you guys, we don't get TV time, we don't get game time, they don't get electronics. They both have the TV on and they both have their iPads today. So it's, they're loving it, but it's crazy. So furry cat is running around and the other two cats are in my bedroom right now. It is so crazy. But she's still crying for me, even though she's with my daughter. So I have anxiety and I'm like, man, I need to hurry up and do this podcast. And then I'm rambling on and it's crazy. But listen, I have something super exciting that I want to announce to you guys, just because you've been here with me from the beginning and you're fucking awesome. And if you're new here, welcome to the party. But Listen, Bitch officially got its first monetized deposit today. Yeah, if I had any knowledge on how to edit an episode, I would put in like the clappy hands, the applause. Yay. Listen, Bitch got its first deposit. The show's getting paid to exist. Okay. Not quite breaking even for my cost, but yeah, I'm so fucking happy. But don't get it twisted. I'm still looking for badass branding sponsors who want to attach their name to something bold, honest, faith forward, slightly unhinged in the best way. If that is you, or it's your cousin or your cousin's cousin who owns a business, hit me the hell up, okay? And you guys know I have to talk about this, because 97% of people are in balance with their omega levels. Now, you don't have to argue with me. Like, you can argue with the science. And if you haven't taken my blood test yet, don't be a pussy, okay? Just take it. You're basically rolling dice on your health. I want you to stop testing and just get this damn test. And here's the thing. You take the test. It's a poke in your finger. You've survived worse things, but you take this test, and if you're one of the 3% of people in the world that aren't in balance, you get your money back 100%. And if not, you spend 40, I think it's like 40 some dollars a month for the oil to get balanced. 90 days of that, you could retake your test and see the proof that the products fucking work, okay? And I found a home here, like, to build in, and I'm super excited. So I'm definitely going to open the door for anybody who wants to come build with me. I know I share a lot of products that I love, and I'll never stop doing that ever. Like, I talk about the pain patches. But as much as I love it there, it's just going to be something I share with you guys on a private level, personal level, people that I know. It's not going to be my home-based business. This blood test company's in Zeno. Listen, the Omegas isn't the only blood test they have either. So I just love it, because it's backed by facts and science, and you can't really question it. No one's gaslighting you. We want you to get healthy. So anyway, today's episode, how to be more ambitious. Okay. And here's the thing about ambition, because everybody wants it. Everybody wants it, but almost nobody knows how to hold it without blowing up their life or spiritually topping out 3 weeks in. Okay. Ambition is like a muscle. It's not a mood. You train it, you feed it, you build it. And you can absolutely become more ambitious, but you're going to have to stop waiting for motivation to spiritually descend on you like some random miracle and make you productive. It's not going to happen. Real ambition is built on decisions. We're not about the vibes, bitch. Okay, we're over that. So it's not about like, ooh, I good vibes coming my way. I'm just going to think about it. No, you're going to make decisions. So I'll break this down for you in a very simple way. First thing first, you're going to have to get honest about what you really want, not what you're allowed to want. Okay, because most people aren't unambitious. They're just not. They're just lying to themselves. And so maybe they're lying about the size of the life they want, or lying about, the money that they want, or the freedom that they want, or they're lying because they're scared if they name the one thing, they'll have to become the person who goes after it. You cannot build ambition on a fake desire. Ambition grows when you tell the truth, the scary fucking truth. So you have to ask yourself, what would I actually go for if judgment didn't exist? What life would I build if fear wasn't the loudest voice in the room? What number in my bank account would actually give me peace? And you have to name it, or you're never going to chase it. And here's what's happening. It's like you're ordering off the kids' menu at a steakhouse and you're sitting there pretending that you want the chicken tenders, but what you actually want is that badass tomahawk ribeye with the truffle butter. Yeah, bitch, we like the steakhouse, okay? I know what you really want, but you looked at the price and you felt some kind of way about it and convinced yourself that you're actually more of a chicken tender person anyway. That's what we do with our dreams. We downsize them before anybody else can. We pre-reject ourselves. And it's like showing up to an audition and we ask for the background role because you don't want to look stupid going for the lead. Meanwhile, someone half as qualified as you just walked in and asked for the lead part, two understudies, and their own parking spot. I need you to understand something. Your watered down goals are a defense mechanism. It's not a reflection of what you actually want. You're doing this thing where you aim small so the disappointment stays small, but that's like buying the parachute that only half works because you don't want to get your hopes up about surviving the fall. That's fucking idiotic. It's stupid. The number in your bank account that would give you peace, you know it. You know exactly what it is. And you've thought about it at 2 a.m. when you couldn't sleep. You've done the math in your head while pretending to listen to someone talk. Stop acting like it's some mystery. Just write it down, say it out loud, because right now it's living rent-free in your head as this vague, like, enough that keeps moving further away every time you get close. And I'm not talking about some stupid manifestor Lamborghini nonsense, okay? I'm not doing that. I'm talking about the difference between saying I want to be comfortable versus I want $10 million in the bank, a house with no mortgage, and the ability to take 3 months off without checking my phone. One of those is a fortune cookie. The other is an actual target. You cannot hit what you cannot see. And right now you're shooting arrows in the dark with a blindfold on, and you're hoping you accidentally hit fine or decent or whatever other mediocre word that you've been using to describe the life you actually want to be extraordinary. You have to break your all or nothing curse. Ambition dies in dramatic people. Like, it just dies. You know, the type that's like, I'm going to wake up at 4 a.m. I'm going to run 6 miles. I'm going to drink celery air. I'm going to write a book. I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to make $10,000 before noon. Bitch, no, you're not. You're going to do that one time, burn out, cry in the shower, and go back to scrolling TikTok. I know because I've done it. Ambition grows through consistency, not theatrics. So you have to set like micro targets. 10 minutes of focus, one task finished, one DM sent, one piece of content, one small move that creates momentum. Ambition is built in inches before it ever becomes miles. And I'm the king of this fucking delusion. I would map out this monastery level routine like I was training to be Batman himself. And then, like, by Tuesday, I'm eating cereal at 2 p.m. in the same sweats I've been wearing for 4 days, wondering where it all went wrong. And I'm not judging anybody that wears the same sweats 4 days in a row. I still do that. But I'm not standing in my kitchen at 2 p.m. freezing. And this is what nobody tells you. Like, your brain treats these massive overhauls like you're asking it to move to a different country. It panics and it's going to revolt and rebel. And it's going to convince you that one missed day means total failure. So you might as well abandon ship, order pizza, drink the bottle of wine. So think of it like this. You wouldn't try to learn guitar by immediately playing Stairway to Heaven at a concert. That's not how you learn. I listen to my son every day practicing upstairs. It's amazing. If he tried that, like he'd feel like an idiot. And you would sound worse. You'd quit before the first chorus. But for some reason, with our goals, we think that we need to debut, at Madison Square Garden, or we're just frauds. And the people actually winning, they're playing three chords in their bedroom every day. That's it. He does a lot more than three chords, but I'm just saying. And I'm not saying don't have big goals. I'm saying like your Tuesday afternoon self needs to be able to execute without a motivational soundtrack, without, the vision board and whatever bullshit people are believing in with Mercury retrograde dumbass distraction stuff. And you guys, I'm totally over that stuff. I know once upon a time, Brandon talked about that. It's just a bullshit excuse to not change your behavior, to not be obedient to God. So listen, one focused hour beats 12 chaotic ones. One complicated thing beats 17 started things. And one message sent will beat a perfectly crafted pitch you never send because you're not ready yet. So stop trying to become unrecognizable overnight. You're not a caterpillar. You're not a caterpillar in a motivational bullshit Instagram post. You're a real human, a person who needs to prove yourself that you could do something small, and then you do it again tomorrow. That's how you build trust with yourself. That's how ambition stops feeling like performance and starts feeling like that's who you actually are. Stop waiting for the confidence. You have to act like the person who has it. And I know this one's going to sting. It's not that you're underambitious, you're overwaiting. You're waiting to feel ready. You're waiting to feel confident. You're waiting to feel qualified. You're waiting for a sign. Confidence grows after the action, not before it. If God already told you to move and the assignment is sitting right in front of your face, like, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? A skywritten Bible verse? He's given you the assignment. He's written the words. Ambition is a choice that you make in the moment. It's not a personality trait that you're either born with it or you're not. Nobody teaches you how to ride a bike by having you sit in the garage and visualize balance. It doesn't work like that. You get on the damn bike, you wobble, you fall, your knee bleeds, and somewhere between the pavement and the handlebars, your body figures it out. That is how confidence works too. You think the first person who ever parallel parked felt confident? No. They're sweating through their shirt, praying they wouldn't take out someone's bumper and probably had three cars honking behind them. They did it anyway. Now they whip into spots like it's nothing. I'm not asking you to feel ready. I'm asking you to move like someone who already decided that they're going to do this regardless of how they feel about it. You guys, I started a podcast 3 years ago. Zero listeners, zero followers, zero audience, zero platform. I might still have zeros and all of that, but bitch, I got paid today. I got paid 3 years later, 500 episodes later. And do you think that I just was like not confident? I knew I was going to do this and I knew I was going to commit because I was told that people never stick to podcasts and it's the hardest thing to stick to. And they're not wrong. It is hard. It's hard because there's times that nobody listens. There's times that, people don't apply what I say. But then there's other times that they do, and it's amazing. Confident people aren't confident because they never doubt themselves. You get confident because you stop letting doubt be the thing that makes the decision. I don't doubt what I'm doing. This podcast will be here in 7 years from now. However long it takes, I don't care. I'll never stop using my voice here to help you step into your potential, to tell you the truth. You've been treating confidence like it's a prerequisite, like you need to download it before you can launch it. But confidence is a receipt. It's not the ticket. You get it after you do the thing, not before. So if the assignment is clear and you're still sitting there refreshing your inbox for some divine intervention, I need you to hear this. God doesn't send reminders. He's not going to text you and be like, hey, just checking if you got my last message about that business, about that podcast, about that book, about that conversation, about that move. He gave you instructions one time. Now he's going to watch and see if you trust him enough to act on it. That's heavy. Like, do you trust him? Then why aren't you doing the scary thing? That's like an F you to him. People are so worried about the big words I use. Ah, you're abomination to God. But like they gave, God gave them a message and they're just like not listening. I think that's scarier than saying shit, just not listening to the assignment. And baby, you got to walk away from people who hate ambitious energy. Like, ambition cannot live in a passive aggressive environment, period. If you are surrounded by complainers and victims and underachievers or people who get personally offended every time you rise, your ambition doesn't stand a chance. You need people who are going to cheer when you win, who are going to challenge you when you're slacking, who don't need babysitting, and who have their own dreams. You cannot be around people who are going to resent you for having yours. Ambition requires community. Even God, built the disciples as a unit for a reason. And your ambition is like a fire. You can have the best kindling, the driest wood, the perfect conditions, but if someone keeps throwing wet blankets on it every time you get a flame going, you're done. You're going to spend all your energy just trying to keep the spark alive instead of building something that actually burns. And I learned this the hard way. I used to think loyalty meant sticking around people who needed me. What I didn't realize is that they didn't need me. They needed an audience for their excuses. And every time I'd share a goal, I'd get the eye roll. Must be nice. You're so lucky. Like, you know how many people still say, like, my podcast is through 500 episodes? Oh my gosh, you're so lucky. I'm in some podcast groups, guys. And this stuff is just insane. The detailed explanation of why that would never work for them, I don't care. It wasn't concern, it's resentment. It's resentment wrapped up in the safety warning. And when I finally walked away, I got faster. I got clearer. I stopped explaining myself into exhaustion because the people around me already understood the language of ambition. We don't need to translate, drive into something more palatable. We just move. You know how crabs are in a bucket and they pull each other down when one tries to climb out? Like, that is not a metaphor. That's your Tuesday if you're hanging out with people who treat your wins like a personal attack. Okay. And the wild part is that they'll just convince you they're just being realistic or they're protecting you. They're protecting their own comfort zone and you're a threat to it. You want people who don't flinch when you level up, people who text you opportunities, not complaints, people who have, their own scorecard that they're trying to beat, like someone that's competing with themselves so that they're not obsessed with what you're doing. That's the crew. That's the environment where ambition doesn't just survive, it multiplies. You have to build a rhythm that protects your energy, your brain, and your body. Ambition is not just a mindset, it is biology. If your brain chemistry is trash and your inflammation is off the charts, you're not lazy, right? Ambitious people protect everything around them. You are not building an empire on vibes. You're just not going to do it. And I know this is where a lot of women choke, okay? That you have to give yourself permission to want more without apologizing. Like, they want more, but the guilt hits, the fear hits, the who do you think you are hits. Ambition can't grow in shame, okay? You have to consciously, daily, aggressively give yourself permission to become the person that God actually designed, not the watered down version that your fear is comfortable with. Ambition is holy when your intentions are aligned. So don't apologize for wanting a life that honors your potential. And trying to grow your ambition while drowning it in guilt is like trying to plant a garden while simultaneously pouring bleach on the soil. You're working against yourself before you even start. And I see you over there wanting the bigger vision. I see you wanting the business that scales, the income that creates choices, and the impact that outlives you. And then immediately slapping your own hand like you just reached for something that wasn't yours. But here's the truth that nobody's telling you. Wanting more isn't greedy, it's honest. And God doesn't give you a vision just to torture you with that. He doesn't. And I know you're here. It's that muscle. You wouldn't go to the gym and pick up a weight and spend the entire workout apologizing to everyone around you for taking up space. Sorry, I'm here. Sorry, I want to be stronger. Sorry, I'm breathing. Sorry, it's heavy. That's insane. But that's exactly what you're doing when you want more and immediately follow it with shame. And the women who actually break through, they've made a decision that you haven't made yet. They've decided that their calling is louder than their fear of judgment. They've decided that disappointing themselves is worse than disappointing people who don't pay their bills or live their lives. So, this is your assignment. Every single time that Who do you think you are? Voice shows up. I want you to answer it out loud and say, I'm someone with a vision. I'm someone God trusted with this dream. And I'm someone who's done playing small to make other people comfortable. I want you to say it until your nervous system believes it, because ambition without permission is just a bullshit fantasy. And you didn't come this far to stay stuck in the land of what if. So before I go, save my kids and give them a break from the rooms. Before I go back to our little prison inside of our home, listen to me. You are not lacking ambition. You're lacking clarity. You're lacking rhythm and you're lacking truth, but that can change today. So if this episode hit home and you're ready to take, not just your health seriously, like get the Omega test, but if you're ready to make money from home instead of watching everybody else do it, message me. If you want to start that podcast, message me. The door is open. And to my future sponsors listening, yes, I see you. Let's talk. And I'll see you guys tomorrow, assuming the cats don't unionize and overthrow my house and kill us all and themselves and each other by then. So, bye, bitch.